You are listening to the Campus Life Podcast, where Gary shares his lessons and adventures on campus as a college chaplain and the lead pastor of a collegiate church plant in West Hartford, Connecticut. Gary releases a new episode on the first and last Thursday of each month, but keep an eye out on your email because Gary is known to release bonus content every now and then. Lastly, Gary answers two questions on each episode. You can submit your questions by emailing us at info@faithfellowshipct.com and typing campus life question in the subject line. Now buckle up for this episode of Campus Life.
What's up, family? This is Gary Knighton. I'm a collegiate missionary at the University of Hartford, where I help students find meaningful community, live on mission for Christ, and prepare for a decade of making Christ followers in the workplace, for going in there and transforming the landscape of culture. So I'm so excited to be able to get to share with you guys today what God is doing in my life right now and some of the things that are on my heart. So let's get into it today. Today, I want to talk to you about a topic that is kind of near and dear to my heart right now, and that is keeping your door and your heart open. So every semester, without fail, there's fall outreach. There's this blitz time of year where I am getting the opportunity to meet new students, make new connections, build new relationships. I meet new parents. It's just an outreach period. It's just kind of that period between the end of the previous spring semester, the summer has some outreach opportunities, and then the fall. And so you meet new students, you have conversations, you have encounters, you're doing outreach events, you're giving away, giving invitations to come to service, things like that. And you meet a lot of people. Frankly, and during these times of year, I'm meeting hundreds of people. I can say that legitimately, meeting hundreds of new people between all the new events each year. And some of those connections are immediate. We meet people and they immediately get connected and things go well. But over the last, maybe I want to say year or so, and even more recently in the last, actually today, as a matter of fact, I have been running into people who I have previously encountered, had conversations with, have been on the receiving end of an act of kindness or an outreach event, and they are just now getting connected and getting plugged in. And so I want to kind of talk about that experience. So for over the last, year or so, and over the last several months, several students who I've had previous interactions with have resurfaced, and they have reached out to me to get involved in ministry, or they have started coming around and they're already involved. So I'm going to talk to you about some things that I've learned as a collegiate missionary and minister on the college campus, and kind of talk about, what I've learned about, these interactions that you have with people that don't have immediate responses to them, and how you can prepare your heart and kind of keep your door open for the potential of what may transpire. Because I think it's safe to say that we can't tell what's going to happen in our relationships with students the first time we meet them. And so I want to talk about some things that I have learned about that, how these experiences have shaped me, how these experiences have really prepared my heart each year for what God may be wanting to do through the relationships that I have and through the encounters that I have. So the first thing that I've learned about meeting new students, about these original conversations and contacts, is this. The first thing is that the reach or impact of a single conversation, a single act of kindness, or a single invitation is not always shown in people's immediate reaction to them. And I'm going to say it again. Again, the reach or impact of a single conversation, single act of kindness, or a single invitation is not always shown in people's immediate reaction. And so what I mean to say is that sometimes, when you're giving out these invitations, you're doing these, you know, acts of kindness, these outreach events, you're having these conversations or a club fair or a resource event, you talk to people and sometimes people just don't respond the way you want them to immediately. You would hope that they would come to the next event. You would hope that they would fill out a connection card. You would hope that they would show up to your first service. You would hope that they would come to your mixers. And for whatever reason, they just don't. And I need you to know today that sometimes the impact or the effectiveness of your outreach or the seed that you have planted, you're not going to always see it germinate immediately. The impact, its worth, is not always seen quickly. And I need you to know that so that you don't, you know, have just false expectations and grow miserable and weary and doing well, thinking that the immediate responses are the only ones that have taken root. And I want you to know that because it just changes the way you feel as you start, continue to do ministry. You start to think that the only interactions that were valuable were the ones that had immediate results. And the reason I say that is because I'll tell you some stories as I'm you know, talking about all three of these points I'm making, is that one of the students who is a part of our ministry now, I met him when he was a freshman, and he's really involved now, but we gave him a cookie. It was when mission team was up here, we gave him a cookie and an invite to church. I also tried to recruit him for our band, and he had absolutely no interest. I had another student reach out to him. He did not bite at that. He did not really show up to anything. And then in his junior year, he came to a few services with a few friends. I had remembered him, but I could not pinpoint exactly when I had seen him. But then when he told me his name, I was like, I remember you. And he told me, yeah, man, you gave me a cookie. He didn't forget it. And this year, in his senior year, he is a faithful part of our team. He comes as often. He talks to me on campus. And so he never forgot that one encounter. It went deep. It was something memorable. He remembered me. He remembered the act of kindness. And he knew where we were going to be and was able to come with a friend later in life and later during his collegiate career. So sometimes you just have to realize that the impact or the potential of what you have done is not summed up in people's immediate reaction to your offer and invitation. The second thing I've learned is that people will reconnect or seek you out when what you have shared or what you're offering becomes more relevant to their life, right? So it has nothing to do with you. A lot of, you know, why people are seeking you out is not that what you're offering wasn't good or that it wasn't going to be helpful at some point. For them, they just haven't grasped the relevancy of it yet because they're not in the space and place in life where they need that particular thing or they think they need the thing that you're offering. See, sometimes people don't want what they need from you until they want it for themselves. And that's just so real, is that sometimes they don't even know what they really need. And so until they find out what they need, then they don't want it from you. And so it has nothing to do with you. It has all to do with whether what you're offering, though needed, is relevant to them. I had a conversation this week with a young man who texted me and said, hey, you know, I don't know if you remember me, but we met about a year and a half ago. And he had reached out to me again earlier last year when he was going through a crisis. And he said to me, you know, I want to come in, but he didn't come in. And this year he decided that he wants to come in. I sent him a link to my calendar to book a time. Also give him a flyer to church services so he can start coming to that. And so he says he's going to come to that because he's in a place in life where he needs what we're offering. No, those are not his exact words, but that was the gist of what he was saying. It was that I need Christian community right now because I'm trying to grow in my faith. So now your faith group, your ministry on campus is now relevant because that's what I'm trying to accomplish in my life. Beforehand, I wasn't trying to do that. So it wasn't that you were irrelevant. It was the fact that what you were offering wasn't relevant in my life because of where I was at. And so you need to know that. So that way you feel like what you're offering doesn't have value. It does have intent. It has tons of value, tons of worth, and it's needed. But until the person who needs it knows that, they won't come. And so you'll find out that some of the people are coming back to you because they finally found out that you have what they need. Another one here is that you always be ready. What I've learned is that I always need to be ready to receive them with open arms. And so it's so beautiful because as each one of these people come back and they start to talk to me about why they were gone or why they didn't come in the first place, that's not the focus of my conversation with them. I'm not trying to jade them. I'm not trying to make them feel bad. I'm literally just trying to, you know, welcome them back into the fold because you never know what brought them there. And I feel like if life has finally brought them there and God has guided them to you, then you need to be, you know, almost like the father of the prodigal son. Just have your arms open. Just receive them because life has sent them back. And that by life, I mean God. God has fashioned their life in a way that they're coming back to a place where they feel safe. They feel that they can get from you and from the ministry what they need. And so you need to have open arms. That's not the time for you to be, you know, have that I told you so spirit or have that big brother spirit, but really just be welcoming and open to those people. So here's some things that I am doing and some things that I have done, you know, in this kind of in-between period when they're not back necessarily. And what I've also done as they come back, and kind of a last story before I move into that section, is that one of the young ladies that just came back to us recently, I talked to her about a year and a half ago. I talked to her father, met them. But I don't know what she's going through right now, but something triggered her to think, you know what? Hey, I did have that conversation on campus. I did meet this minister. And now I'm back. I haven't got a chance to have a conversation directly about what she's going through. But something in her life triggered her to come back. And you know what we did? We just welcome her with open arms to say, this is a safe place. You are welcome here, no matter whether you responded early in our relationship to our first encounter or invitation, or you responded to our 50th. You are welcome just the same. So last few things that I want to say as I get ready to kind of close out this is the first thing that I'm doing and have done is that I always do my best to refrain from looking for immediate results from everyone I encounter. Look, there are some days where I know that the way the conversation went, this might be a later encounter. This might be a later sprouting of this relationship because I can tell that they really weren't there. So I don't throw the relationship away, but I know that this may not be an immediate relationship that we build. This may be something where life kind of pushes them back, where God kind of uses providence and circumstance to bring someone back to me. So I try not to look at every situation, every encounter, every invitation as something that's going to happen immediately, like it's going to just sprout up right now. Some of the things I have to realistically look at and say, hey, this might not be a first meeting kind of thing where it just pops off. This may be an ongoing. This may be a few years from now. This may be a few months from now. I can't have the same expectations of every encounter. Second thing is that I pray over the names of people that I meet on campus who necessarily didn't respond quickly. I believe God can do much more than I can in that area. So there's people on my list, my prayer list that I have met a year and a half ago. There's people on my list that I met, you know, 6 or 7 months ago. But I am faithful to pray for them. Faithful to pray for them, faithful for whatever they might be going through. I'm praying that God will use circumstance and providence to bring them back in, you know, to in relationship or start a relationship with me. I know that God can do far more than I can, but it's also a way of, you know, me saying that, hey, we planted a seed and this prayer now is watering this particular relationship that we hope to foster. Another thing is that I try my best to be welcoming and not condescending when they come back. And I think that's so important is that, you know, the last thing you want to do is someone is coming to you for safety, someone's coming to you for support, and you have this kind of big brother mentality like, oh, why did you, you should have came a long time ago, you should have been back here, or you should have came when I first reached out to you. No, don't do that. Life has already beat them up, or they've already figured out that there's a need. What you need to do is be like Jesus and welcome them home. Welcome them, welcome the welcome. Don't be condescending. Don't make any jokes about it. Just pick up life with them and do life. And the last thing is this. I try not to overwhelm them with too much when they first come, but I do make it a point to get them plugged into the life of the church as soon as possible. So I may not, you know, try, now, of course, I'm not trying to give them any ministry positions or, you know, hook them up with a job immediately when they get there, but I'm trying to make sure that they get to meet people, they, you know, start to get meaningful relationships and get plugged into all the things that are going on so they can start receiving the benefits of the Christian community that they hope to be a part of. So I'm so thankful and so grateful to be sharing with you guys today about this topic, because I think it's near and dear to my heart. But my word to you is keep your door open. Always keep that line of connection open. Always keep your heart open to them. Don't get jaded in that moment, but keep your door open. Not saying the same telephone number, but some of them, you know, I keep their names in my phone because when they text me, I want to know who it is. And I can say, yes, I do remember you because your number is and your name is in my phone. So, you know, find those little ways to kind of keep, even if it's just keeping their email in your contact list or something, you know, make it feel like I've been waiting on you. Like it's not, yo, you didn't catch me by surprise. But yeah, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in to Campus Life. I love what I get to do for college students. If you are interested in joining my team and being a part of the ministry and what God is doing here at the University of Hartford, I invite you to check out GaryKnighton.com. Go ahead and click there and visit that website. And my personal website has everything you need to know about how to get involved and how to invest in the life of college students. They are the most strategic. This is the most strategic mission field on the planet. So I would encourage you to make a good investment here. Our churches need to invest in the college campus and invest in the ministries that go there. This is me with another episode of Campus Life. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember this. If you want to touch the world, you have to reach the campus. You have to go through the campus. Love you all and talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Campus Life. To get the show notes from this episode, be sure to email us at info@faithfellowshipct.com and type show notes in the subject. You can use the show notes to discuss this content with your staff and student leaders. Lastly, if you'd like to financially support Gary on his mission to disciple, develop, and deploy college students so they can influence the culture for Christ for decades to come, visit GaryKnighton.com/H4UH. As always, if you enjoy this content, please share with your friends and on social media. Thanks again for listening to Campus Life. Thank you.